Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome, everyone. 3:02 on this November 18th in Eastern Iowa. It is the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unash recharging a bit between football and basketball seasons. He'll be back on Wednesday. But our producer, Kyle Mann, jack of all trades, going to sit in with me today and tomorrow. We're going to talk with Mike Alas, Mondays with Mike, at the bottom of the hour. Rehash and review and analyze the goings-on in Iowa City and Ames over the weekend. Two thrilling wins for the Iowa and Iowa State football programs, respectively. We'll have the results of the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you as well, and let you know who is going to go to Emil's Hideaway with a $30 gift card. Really fun weekend, I thought, in college football and the NFL. You might even get to Trubisky before you know it, you know?
Well,
'cause his day's numbered in Chicago.
I'll say one thing. The reports are today that Matt Nagy says that Trubisky was not sat down because of his poor play. He says instead he was sat down because his hip is sore. I am going to go on the record as saying I don't think that that's the case. Mm. That I have a feeling that hip injury is going to last at least a couple weeks until they see how much they like Chase Daniel.
We'll pick that up later on. And Tua, Alabama's quarterback, had surgery today to repair his right hip, which was badly injured in Alabama's victory over the weekend. And it just was a horrible sight to me to see him go down, one of the top players in college football. And last 2 minutes of the first half, should he been on the field? Should he not have been? I don't really have a problem with him being on the field. He wanted to be on the field. Nick Saban, of course, if he knew Tua was going to get hurt, he wouldn't have put him on the field. But Tua is out for the year, and perhaps he's taking his last snap at Alabama.
It's just a shame, too. You know, you've got certain teams out there in the NFL who, you know, have possibly been tanking for over one full season trying to get him. So, you know, that I hate to say it, but that was kind of my first reaction was, you know, Tua's not in the NFL yet, but who he is as a player was already part of the NFL. There were certain teams planning for the opportunity to get him. So it's just, you know, and then of course on a human level, you know, that's just too bad. Mm-hmm. Only time's going to tell, I suppose, right now, how severe that turns out to be. But as I understand it, it's the same type of injury that hampered Bo Jackson and cut his career short. So, you know, that was a good couple decades ago. So hopefully they can handle Tua's a bit better, but you know, I guess just gonna have to wait and see. Just too bad.
Gym Class brought to you today and every day by Third Base Brewery out there on Blair's Ferry Road. We thank Third Base today and every day. You can interact with us on the phone line, 319-366-1600, or our Hertzien and Stocker Jeweler text line, same number, 319-366-1600. Let's get right into it, and it being Iowa 23, Minnesota 19. A much-needed victory for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa State with the last second kick by Connor Osalle for the Cyclones to secure bowl eligibility and defeat Texas 23-21. Those games finished about a half hour within each other. Let's talk about what happened in Iowa City. And I know you were at a wedding and didn't catch the entirety of that game. But a lot of interesting aspects to it in my mind, Kyle. And I think it started at the very start. Maybe something overlooked, but Iowa won the toss and elected to receive. That's unconventional wisdom. It's really against what Kirk Ferentz has done all or most of his career. But I found that was kind of, this is interesting. Starting running back Tyler Goodson. Finally. I've been harping on this for weeks. The eye test confirms that this guy is dynamic. Mekhi Sargent and Torrin Young are very solid, capable backs. But Goodson showed on one of, if not his first carries, the misdirection pitch that went for 26 yards. It wasn't even necessarily his running, but the play calling I thought was brilliant in the first quarter. And then his touchdown run of 10 yards when he seemingly was going to get caught behind the line of scrimmage and shunned at least a couple tacklers and got into the end zone. You don't see Iowa running backs do that just every day. I thought Iowa got some breaks. Certainly a big one was the slant pattern by the Wisconsin receiver, and he flat dropped the ball. And then Dane Belton gets called for a late hit, the Iowa defensive back. But also, P.J. Fleck runs onto the field, explaining that he wanted to protect his player. He gets an unsportsmanlike. Now, Iowa would have had the ball anyway because it was two dead ball fouls. But between the drop pass and that a couple penalties, I thought that was a big part of the game. And Iowa shut off Minnesota's running game. I thought that was a big part of everything. But, man, oh, man, Tanner Morgan torched Iowa's defensive backs. Minnesota has big receivers. They were winning one-on-one. I looking at my notes that I wrote during the game, third quarter, why doesn't Minnesota throw deep every play? They were winning those one-on-one matchups. And really hurting Iowa. But in the end, Iowa, really strong last series on defense. A.J. Epinesa, today's Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten, much deserved with a 2.5 sacks. A guy like Joe Evans. I don't even know much about Joe Evans, but he came up with a big sack on first down with on Minnesota's last drive. And in the end, Riley Moss ended it with a interception on a desperation pass. So, nice solid victory for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
It was, and of course, it becomes their signature win of the season. I guess depending how you view that matchup with Iowa State, but in terms of just, you know, on the field and, you know, in the rankings, by far the biggest win of the season. And you know, the thing that I kind of took away from this is, you saw how quickly Iowa came out and how aggressive they were offensively. And it just got me to thinking to all throughout last week at the presser on Tuesday, people, Hawkeye fans were saying, you know, once they went up tempo 2 weeks ago, things started to go well. You know, why don't they just run a little bit more of that? And Kirk Ferentz had made a comment in response to that on Tuesday saying, you know, we're open to things that are going to result in more points being put on the board. I don't understand why they refer to it as being open to it instead of just doing it, because it you know, once they did it, it's a lot more offensive success than when they did it. So it seems like a simple decision to me. But then to come out and Kirk said as much in his post-game comments that they knew, as good as that Minnesota offense is, knowing how good the Iowa defense is, there's a good chance that Iowa was going to have to score a healthy amount of points in this game. And so suddenly you saw the way the Hawkeyes came out. You know, they put 20 on the board in the first half. They're up 20 to 3 at one point, 20 to 6 at the half. But, you know, just out of nowhere, they decide, okay, we're going to need a little offense in this game. They start running the outside zone. And, you know, voila, there's points on the board. So it just makes me wonder, and this honestly happens every time Iowa has a little bit of offensive success, but it just makes me wonder, why don't they go ahead and do that a little bit more? I guess having you referenced Tyler Goodson, he had a great game. He's first on the depth chart that was released today, so we're going to see a lot of him moving forward. And he's just that alone is going to help. Because did you notice how often they were running that zone to the outside? They got that zone blocking scheme going, and you got a guy like Goodson who's able to go get the edge. He's actually able to beat a defender to the sideline and get a turn up field for a couple yards. That alone is going to open up some things for the Hawkeyes. But, you know, once again, just a little bit of a reminder that offense, you know, the Hawkeyes can produce offensively when they try to.
Iowa dominated the kicking game as well. Minnesota does not have a kicker.
Mm.
Minnesota closed the deficit to 23-19 with 3.5 minutes left, and its kicker missed an extra point. They failed to recover an onside kick. Minnesota did get the ball back, but by that time, Iowa's defense was ready to close the door, and it did. On the text line, 1156, I've been pretty quick to criticize Nathan Stanley when he struggled, but Saturday was a big game, and he came up big, as did the O-line. Kudos to him and his line.
Along those lines, I got to admit, that third down run where he sidestepped one defender, turns up field, and he trucks another defender. We've seen glimpses of that, like a couple weeks ago against Wisconsin. He lowered his head and tried to take somebody over at the goal line. I've said some things in the past that, you know, I'm not sure Nathan Stanley has a whole lot of moxie or just, you know, general confidence that I would want out of a quarterback. And I'm not necessarily going to pull off of that, but he has shown he can be tough. He's not scared to put his head down. He's not afraid to use his size. And I'll call it refreshing just to see him do that once again. Feel like he's got a little fire in him.
3:15 on today's edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you today. There was a 4th and 1 in the first half, and Nathan Stanley is getting 3-4 yards on every quarterback sneak. But they decided not to run a sneak there, and he threw a beautiful pass to Nate Weeding. Made a nice catch for a first down. I think that was a big, big play as well. But I kind of said, what are you doing? The sneak is working for 2, 3, 4 yards every play. That's, you only need one. But yet came up big with an 11-yard catch. So do you feel better now that Iowa is 7-3 and has notched a signature win after those tough losses against Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin? 9-3 is in sight. 7-5 is still possible. 8-4 is still possible. You got to be feeling good out there today, Hawkeye fans, do you not?
It's at least something for Hawkeye fans to hang their hat on. But in terms of takeaways, like I kind of just went through, I can't help but just wonder where this offensive production was before. And even, you know, they get to halftime, they've got the lead that they want, and they pack it in for the second half. They almost blew it. It turned out to be a victory, but in some ways it was a tale of two halves.
Minnesota played much more inspired on defense than it did in the first half, I thought, and made some nice adjustments. You got to tip your hat to them, too.
That's true. That's definitely true. But it seemed to me like you could see Iowa entered with a certain philosophy, and as the game went on and they got the lead that they wanted, they kind of started to revert back to their typical philosophy, and that turned out to almost blow the game for them. So it just, like I said, it just kind of, it makes me wish that Iowa would commit to deciding to have a productive offense a bit more often.
Cyclone Tim on the text line, watch both games, great games. But Iowa State, Texas was not for the weak of heart. Glad both Hawks and Cyclones won. Good for the state. We'll get to Iowa State here momentarily. Kenneth on the text line, good solid win for the Hawks. I am worried about the D-backs, though. Kerner especially struggled. But then again, Minnesota is a pretty darn good football team. 6056, our offensive line blocked a lot. Better than they have. I think that was the main difference, not necessarily the play calling. You have to be able to block, and we did that on Saturday. John in Dubuque, absolutely, guys. I know we're all frustrated with Iowa's offense. What's frustrating is that we see the potential and the program philosophy seems to shy away from it, shy away from aggressive calls to gain time of possession, etc. You know, getting up 17 or 20 to nothing and making the other team one-dimensional is good, too. Seven and three, with Illinois and Nebraska still on the docket. A resurgent Illinois team, and we're going to talk with play-by-play man Brian Barnhart of the Illini tomorrow on tomorrow's program. Illinois with a week off and going to come into Kinnick, bowl eligible, and probably see it as a good spot to knock off the Hawkeyes.
Playing good ball as it is, too. They beat Wisconsin, of course. Had a big comeback against Michigan State. They're not necessarily gonna be afraid of Iowa. And in fact, I think that Illinois program has as much confidence right now as it has had in quite some time. So I don't know if it's necessarily a trap game because Iowa's not playing for a whole lot other than a better record, but definitely one to be careful for, not to take lightly.
Finally, on this Iowa game, the part of the crowd stormed the field. And while this didn't become a big story, there were comments on social media about act like you've been there before. But my take was that these Iowa fans, number one, had much of the day to prepare for the game. Secondly, they had seen this team painfully lose games against Michigan and Penn State and Wisconsin. And now you see your team defeat one that was ranked in the top 10, undefeated, big trophy game. And I guess I can't blame the fans for going onto the field. I'm not a big believer and proponent of that. But I guess when you add it all up, I couldn't really blame those who did.
I got to be honest. I'm not so sure I would have encouraged people in the stands to do that because the field storm, the court storm, there's a few different reasons to do it. Is this win going to take your program to heights that, you haven't seen before? Or is this win something that, is actually shocking to you? Are you surprised? Can you just not believe what situation you have found yourself to be a part in that day? Those boxes didn't really get checked for me the other night because, Minnesota was undefeated, number 8 team in the country. Iowa was a 3-point favorite in that game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, it's not like winning Minnesota gets Iowa back into the playoff picture or it gets them back into Big Ten contention. It was a good win. Don't get me wrong. And the fans are free to be happy about it. But I'm just not so sure that it warranted a storming. And some of the Tristan Wirfs, I believe it was, said that he wasn't necessarily expecting that. I forget who it was, but I saw at least two former Hawkeye athletes on Twitter as well kind of saying, Corey, field storming the field for that. And so I think even if some of the athletes who, are a part of it or have been a part of things like that, if even they are kind of rubbing their chin about it, then maybe you found the threshold there.
Interestingly, as far as I know, the Big Ten does not have a policy to levy fines against schools whose fans storm the field. The SEC does. The SEC has fined schools $100,000. One school got fined $250,000. For field storming. The Big 12 has policies in place. Iowa State last year, when it beat Oklahoma State, was fined $25,000 when its fans stormed the field. Now, I think Iowa State appealed that, and I'm not sure what happened in that whole thing, but just this year, Kansas State and TCU have each been fined $25,000 for fans going onto the field afterwards. I think six figures is a little harsh.
is that much? Six
figures? Kentucky got fined $100,000, I think, last year. And if I recall, one school got fined $250,000.
Wow.
Not so long ago.
Especially given that there's such hefty fines, I'm surprised the Big Ten doesn't. If for no other reason, like there are certain situations when storming the field is absolutely justified. I would do it myself. But the reality is it's a safety hazard. Okay, you can't be doing it too much, and every time it does happen, you do run the risk of something bad happening. Something bad happened at an Iowa State basketball game a few years back. So while there are certain situations when it's, you know, I'm not going to be bothered by it, I'm not ignorant to the fact that it's something that, in general, you do want to discourage. And so surprised the Big Ten, especially since a bunch of other conferences already do, I'm surprised the Big Ten doesn't have some sort of rule against that.
Corey in Urbana on the text line, I think the reason they storm the field is because of the same things you guys are talking about today. Many people finally felt like the team had reached their potential and were excited about it. They had been so close to a signature win, but the offense just couldn't get them there, and it finally did. 21-34. Why not storm the field? P.J. Fleck did. he started it, didn't he?
It would seem so. I don't know. And did you see that he justified that by saying that his player was motionless and he invoked that he was on the sideline for...
When I first saw it, I thought it was a nice flop job.
Yeah, and the kid was not motionless for a single second. He got helped up almost right away. And so, you know, I know that Fleck's a passionate, fiery guy. Maybe he kind of did that. You know, maybe he didn't plan to do it because you don't know that that's going to happen. But maybe inside his head he said, you know, this is something that I'll do to try to fire up my team or what. Whatever the case was, you can't really just sprint onto the field and give your team a flag.
No. 0-6-2-3, beating a top 10 Ohio State. Yeah, storm the field. Beating a top 10 Minnesota team, not so much. 27-78, the points against the field storming are valid, and Hawk fans should expect to win that game. But at the end of the day, let the kids have their fun.
And that's kind of what it is for me. I don't care.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we want to talk about Iowa State's victory over Texas a little bit. And then a little later on, Michael Loss, Gazette sports columnist. Stay tuned to the Gym Class.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the light to get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm going to go get the hammer to get started.
And... We never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
The first thing your guests see is the outside of your home, so make sure it's ready to greet them for the holidays. A new front door from Therma-True will make a statement and create a stunning entrance. In fact, with a new Therma-True front door from Alexander Lumber, you'll spruce up your curb appeal and give your guests a warm welcome before they even reach the doorbell. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts by design.
Welcome back to the Gym Class, heading for the bottom of the hour. Coming to you live from the historic studios in Southwest Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM. Also on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Streaming and various other means to get the show. Thanks for joining us today. I had a question from 3030. Where does the money go that is collected by these conferences for fines on field storming? Well, in the Southeastern Conference, it goes into a postgraduate scholarship fund. I don't know if that's the same in the Big 12 and any other conferences, but all those tens of thousands of dollars that are raised by... field stormers goes into a postgraduate scholarship fund.
Fantastic fundraising efforts by Hawkeye fans the other night. No, but that seems like as good of a spot to put that money as anywhere.
In Ames, Iowa State with a bowl eligibility clinching victory over Texas. It was a Connor Asale last second field goal that allowed Iowa State to trim the Longhorns 23-21. I only have one television set on, but I was flipping back and forth madly Saturday afternoon to try to catch both the Iowa and Iowa State games, and just felt really good for Iowa State because, as you know, four losses all by one score. It could have been such a different season for Iowa State, but still 8-4 is reachable with Kansas coming up this weekend. Iowa State, more than a three-touchdown favorite to defeat the Jayhawks, who are better. Not great, but better. But very pleasing win in Ames on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think you hit on it exactly. With Iowa State, that team came in with such high hopes and you know, has played well. You know, they've put up good numbers. Brock Purdy's played about as well as Cyclone fans could have imagined they wanted him to. But, you know, that the Iowa game, just a couple small mistakes here and there. They're not able to make it happen. Same deal with that Oklahoma game. They've been so close to having the season that they wanted to have. You know, it's too bad that that's kind of passed them by. But same deal as Iowa. It's good. I'm happy for them to be able to get one of those big wins to say that, you know, we didn't disappoint on everything. You know, at least we got this one.
Iowa State's a really good football team, despite it being 6-4. And I would argue better than some of the teams in the top 25. But Iowa State is not in the top 25, at least in the college football rankings. Again, what a season it could have been for Iowa State. But still 8-4 is reachable. And they're talking Camping World Bowl. Orlando, Florida for the Cyclones. Should be a nice destination. The opponent, yeah, still kicking around phase with a few weeks left before those matchups will be determined. But the main thing for right now for Iowa State is to finish off with a couple more wins and get that 8-4 season. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, bowl eligibility is a facet of what happened Saturday. It's buried in the game story. it's become commonplace for Iowa State, at least in Matt Campbell's era, to go to a bowl game as expected. And I think that's good.
Yep, he's got them in a really good place. Like I said, it's too bad that they couldn't have had the season they wanted this year, but the good news in that regard is that I believe things are only going to continue to go up for them so long as Matt Campbell is there. Still got two more whole seasons with Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy and Breece Hall are two really strong pillars to take your program forward. And Purdy, Charlie Kolar, tight end, might be one of the best, if not the best, tight ends in the country. I know Iowa State feel that's the case. He's doing things that a few, if any, tight ends in the country are doing. They have three good tight ends. Saner and Allen also are very capable tight ends as well. So that's a big component of that offense.
And it's always interesting because, you know, coming into every football season, you know, a position group that might have been a weakness last season, going into the next season, you're always going to read a story about, you know, Team X is going to get better production out of position group X, and that's why this year is going to be better. We spent a lot of the offseason here about how much more involved the Cyclones intended to get the tight ends in the offense, and they have absolutely delivered on that. And they've not only started to include them, but as you say, a couple really high-level players there that they're able to find ways to get the ball to.
And Iowa State was able to overcome Sam Ellinger, a very good quarterback at Texas. His receivers made a couple phenomenal plays. One in the front corner of the end zone, kind of a tap dance that became a touchdown for the Longhorns. But in the end, Iowa State's defense sealed that thing up, gave Iowa State the ball back, and Cyclones were able to maneuver into field goal range and win the ball game. Texas did cover, which Dave Alec was very happy about. He was on an island in the Emo's Hideaway pick six. The rest of us picked Iowa State to cover the 7-point spread, but Dave rode Texas, and the result was a 5-0 week for Dave. 5-0, what do you mean? We picked six games. Well, Northwestern was favored by 39 against UMass and won 45-6.
Those guys are good at their jobs.
That's a straight-up push.
And we just barely missed another one in the Iowa game, if I recall correctly. We picked that at 3.
If Minnesota had a place kicker, that would have been a 3 as well. But congratulations to Dave, his second straight win in the Emo's Hideaway pick 6. No blood in the team race as each team went 9-6. So we'll make picks again on Friday. Jim, our friend in Lost Nation, attached his belief in Dave and has won a $30 gift card to Emo's Hideaway.
You know, you knew it would only be a matter of time before Dave Alec got hot. You know, he the way he performed last year, you knew he was going to find his footing and just take off, and I fear we may have arrived at that point. So if you get into the pick six this week, I would take Dave.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah. The guy's hot.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Mike Halas, because that's sports columnist right here on the Jim Gloss.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
When class isn't in session, take part in weekend extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Glenn Gardner takes you on a journey to concerts all over the world on Live from the Soundboard. Chris Jackson's got alternative rock on Where It's At. And of course, hit the lunchroom for the Beatles Buffet Sunday mornings. Weekends are better with extracurricular activities on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Nobody does it, no one can do it better. Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Ordering online? Just click and your purchase appears at your doorstep. But the vehicles that move your order, trucks, jets, and ships, create a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. That's why ExxonMobil and Synthetic Genomics are developing algae biofuels that can reduce emissions from all those trucks, jets, and ships by half. The upshot? A future where deliveries are just as convenient and greener. Learn more at energyfactor.com.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Welcome back, 3:39 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today and tomorrow. Scott Unash charging the batteries a bit before he gets into basketball season very quickly here. Right now, pleased to welcome Mike Halas, Gazette columnist, and he joins us today and every Monday on the Gym Class. Good afternoon, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good. Were you affected all by the field storming at Kinnick on Saturday?
No, I actually was unmoved.
You were unmoved?
Yeah, it's got to take a lot more than that number of people to budge me.
Biggest takeaway from that game against Minnesota, 23-19 win for Iowa.
Biggest takeaway to me is they scored touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of a refreshing thing. They got three touchdowns in the first half, and then they went back into Iowa offense mode, held under 100 yards in the second half and got 3 points, but they did enough to win on offense, and Tyler Goodson started, which Tyler Goodson was the man of the game. He set a tone in that game, and it carried them all the way to halftime when they had a 20-6 lead, and 20 points, as it turned out, was just enough.
Yeah, I would agree. And Goodson, number one in the depth chart released today by the University of Iowa Sports Information Office. And I would agree it's been a long time coming, but you still have capable backs and Sargent and Young there to come in relief should Goodson falter.
Yeah, and you know what the deal was there is, besides the fact he's a first-year freshman, they want to be confident that the running backs can block before they play extensively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Goodson did a good job of that when he was called on to do it. He played a lot of snaps in that game. I think he played, you know, at least two-thirds of the snaps. And he had at least one blitz pickup that I can remember as a blocker that was good. And the running was, you know, everybody saw the game. They don't need me to describe it. I mean, he was explosive and powerful. Right off the bat, basically, he had that 25-yard run on the misdirection pitch. And that kind of made the statement for the day, I thought, that, A, this guy's going to play. And secondly, Brian Ferentz did a good job of game planning on that opening series and throughout the first half when it was most essential. So Tyler Goodson, I mean, my gosh, first-year freshman running back, and from the Atlanta area, no less, which has become a real hotbed for college football recruiting, more so than ever before. And Iowa's got to keep pulling players out of Atlanta because a lot of people are.
Mike, you referenced it right out of the gate. It kind of seemed like you could tell. The Hawkeyes came into this game to start and said, we're pretty sure we're going to need to score some points, so we're going to come out aggressive, and they did score points. But then they got the lead that they wanted, and again, it seemed like they decided, we're going to go back to the philosophy we usually use, and they ended up almost blowing the game. So, is there any part of you that wonders, why don't they decide to have that sense of urgency a little bit more often?
I don't know. They are Iowa football. You know, the last time you saw it throw all caution to the wind and on offense for four quarters was against Ohio State two years ago, I think, which worked out pretty well. But they, you know, the philosophy is wear you down. That is who they, you know, that's what they've built the program on. Wear you down on both sides of the ball. So did they do that? Well, they did it well enough to win. You know, they're the only team this year that's beaten Minnesota. So I'm not going to argue with anything they did in that game on Saturday. It worked.
And Kirk Ferentz is about to tie and pass Hayden Fry on the all-time Big Ten victories list and go into the top five. Longevity is part of that, certainly, but not stupid.
Well, right. And, yeah, longevity's part of it. And the fact that they play 12 regular season or the 12 games a year plus bowls instead of 11 now is part of it. But the Big Ten's a lot better than it was back then. I mean, look at what's – I mean, this week Illinois comes in. Okay. Illinois, which was supposed to be the, before the season started, you said that's the only soft touch in the whole division. That's what the conventional wisdom was. Illinois has won four straight games, is going to a bowl game, and has beaten Wisconsin at home and Michigan State on the road. That's no soft touch. It is, it's just, it's a harder pull now than it was a couple decades. It's harder pull now than it was 5 years ago. So, you know, comparing, it's all apples and oranges, but the truth is that this game here Saturday is against a team that is, you know, it's rejuvenated. I can't say it's rejuvenated because it was never juvenated. They've been terrible this whole decade. And all of a sudden, in Lovie Smith's third year, light bulbs have popped on all over the place. And that went over Wisconsin. That one just blew everybody's minds. But then it wasn't just a one-day deal now. They took care of business against Purdue on the road in convincing fashion. They played Rutgers, beat them as you're supposed to. They go to Michigan State. They're 25 points down going into the fourth, or, you know, at one point in the game. And win the thing. So that's, you know, one game is a fluke or just a feel-good day, but four in a row like that, that's a trend.
You can be the first to vote on the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which remaining game concerns you the most, Illinois, Nebraska, or neither?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with Illinois.
Yeah.
I am. I certainly wouldn't say neither. Now, I don't know. Who knows what Nebraska's frame of mind will be on Black Friday? It's hard to tell. I watched first half of that game against Wisconsin. They came out and competed, but you're supposed to compete. And they couldn't get it done in the second half, which I guess you would have predicted. But I thought they'd do better than they did in that game. Illinois, on the other hand, has had 2 weeks, will have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and feeling pretty good about itself. So, I think it's got to be Illinois.
Mike got a question from Darren on the phone line just a second ago, and he was wondering what your thoughts are or how you view Nate Stanley in the pocket, because we've seen flashes of him having good pocket awareness, but especially in the face of the blitz, I know we've also seen flashes of the bad. So how would you evaluate Nate Stanley from a pocket awareness standpoint?
Yeah, he had one sack in that game that was really bad. Lost 16 yards, and that was... You will get sacked in the course of a season. I don't care who you are if you play quarterback, but you should never have a 16-yard sack. So that set people off. I thought his overall game, though, was very good. And he made a lot of nice passes. Made a lot of nice passes in that game. So, look, he's a third-year starter. He's a senior. He's not going to suddenly change. And you know who Nate Stanley is. And the question is now, can he get you three more wins? I think the answer is yes.
There's going to be three games left to go, as you just said. How are you going to remember Nate Stanley when his career is all done?
Let's see. In the pantheon of Iowa quarterback center Kirk Ferentz, I think there is a level that has Brad Banks. And just very close behind Banks is Drew Tate, Ricky Stanzi, and C.J. Beathard. And then I think the next level, I would put Nate Stanley at the front of the class at the next level. And I'm not sure really if there's a great difference between Stanzi and Stanley. Because, I mean, Stanley's quarterback two bowl game wins. Stanzi had three, but I think Stanley will get a third unless the matchup turns into something god-awful, which I kind of doubt it will. So, I mean, look, he hasn't missed a game in 3 years as a starter. There have been some big moments. It hasn't been completely smooth a ride, but, you know, he's had a good career. I for anybody who knocks him, it's like, okay, you know, how many in the last 20 years have been better? Really, decisively better. And there aren't very many.
Mike, I like to think I know this, you know, details on a lot of these Iowa football players, but true confession, Joe Evans is somebody I knew very little about. He's a redshirt freshman from Ames. He wasn't even on the depth chart following spring practice. And he starts that last defensive series with a sack from the left defensive end position.
Yeah.
And then you have A.J. Epinesa doing A.J. Epinesa things.
Yeah. Well, you know as much about Joe Evans as I do.
No kidding. In a crucial spot.
Yeah. Well, he's earned his stripes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll hear more about him in years to come.
But Epinesa had maybe his best game of the year, would you agree?
Well, statistically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Minnesota kind of lost track of him there late in the game. The way Iowa used him, I think, crossed the Gophers up. But all year long, everybody has doubled him and has had spies on him and whatever else you want to call it. It's not that statistically he doesn't have Chase Young numbers,
mm-hmm.
but impact wise, there's nobody who they've played who's going to tell you that he wasn't a handful. And he played like that preseason All-America everybody thought he would be Saturday, but it's kind of like the senior season of Desmond King. He didn't have anywhere near the numbers of his junior year in terms of interceptions, but that's because they knew you didn't mess with him. And I kind of it's a different position and statistics are different, but I think it's kind of the same deal with Epineza. He had the impact, you know, and this defense has had the impact. I mean, they've allowed under 13 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take that every year? You might sell your kids to get that every year, you know? The defense has been wonderful, and I think that, you know, I've talked about it here before with you guys. The Wisconsin game, Wisconsin got the better of that defense. But outside of that, it's a defense that should be on a team that's 9-1 right now.
Real quick comment about the good vibes in Ames on Saturday. I know that game was going on coincidentally with the Iowa game, but a last-second kick by Asali gives Iowa State a victory and bowl eligibility. That's that had to feel good for the Cyclone fans.
Yeah, it was the last team that Matt Campbell hadn't gotten since he's been Iowa State's coach. And, yeah, I mean, you look at Texas, and I know that they've had a disappointing season, but you look at their players, and it's like, come on, man, they got some pros.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just have that look. They always do. Whether they go 7-5 or 12-0, they've got pros on that team. And any win over Texas, any time, any place, is a great win. And that's a great win for Iowa State. And it also was made greater by the fact that for once they took the heartbreak and gave it to the opponent. It's a good team over there. It's a good team. And it says something that Iowa State beats Texas and doesn't cover the point spread, that we're at the point now where America kind of expected Iowa State to beat the Texas Longhorns. I think that and they've got Kansas this week. There should be no reason they don't win that, despite the fact that Kansas is an improved team by quite a bit. And then at Kansas State, and that's a gettable game. So you're looking at a potential 9-win season there.
Got to run, Mike, but always appreciate you joining us. We'll visit Iowa, Illinois next Monday and get into a little more basketball talk because that's out there as well, okay?
All right, then.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Loss, Gazette sports columnist, joining us on the Gym Class. Let's take one final break, and we'll put a wrap on today's show after this.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, Protect My Car is announcing a low-cost extended service plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-943-9032 now. Drivers who are covered by Protect My Car will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost. Call Protect My Car for your free quick quote today. 800-943-9032. 800-943-9032. What do you have to lose? Again, 800-943-9032.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Welcome back, heading for the top of the hour on the first of 4 hours of local programming, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, following us from 4 to 7. Plenty of great guests lined up for that show, and more on the weekend that was in college football from the guys. One last text I want to get to, and I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of them today. 70-20, I was at the Iowa game. Kinnick was probably the loudest I've ever heard it, and I've had season tickets for 5 years. The student section started storming the field, and everyone else followed. I think everyone was just caught up in the magic of Kinnick. And as Michael Oss wrote, it's kind of developed into the Ides of November at Kinnick Stadium. We've seen this happen more than once. So thanks for all the interaction today on the Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. If you missed it, the poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which remaining game concerns you the most? Would it be Illinois at Nebraska or neither? Iowa wins out easily. Go ahead and vote. Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
I'm having a hard time actually coming up with my official answer for that, because a loss to either one of those teams would not go over well.
It would just probably trump the Minnesota victory?
Probably, yeah. As high as this program is right now, if you go out on a loss to Illinois or a loss to Nebraska, that's going to be all anybody really remembers. Because neither of those, if you go ahead and lose to one of those teams but beat the other, neither of them are really good enough to, you know, take the blow. Iowa, simply put, Iowa cannot afford to lose either of those games going into the offseason.
And maybe neither of these NFL teams can afford to lose tonight either. The Kansas City Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers getting together in Mexico City. You can hear it 7 p.m. on the FMs, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. 7 o'clock on 1600 AM, the Cyclone Coaches Show will be a lively one. I'm quite sure of that. Tonight, tomorrow, Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of Illinois football. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM. 106.